You are now listening to part two of the April 5th, 2007 Jimmy Doan podcast.
And we're back.
All okay. Right.
All right.
Little roll, little spider
monkey
there. It's
still Thursday, April 5th.
Yep. So it's part two.
Part two.
Here we go.
Part two.
Yeah, it's closing in on. It's closing in on April 6th. Well, another couple hours. One thing I did want to mention. Did you see the? I wanted to ask our attorney about this. Bill would make prostitution at strip clubs a felony.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton?
Yeah. Third degree felony.
So. No, I don't
think says,
so.
It says a bill before the Florida legislature would make it a third degree felony for an owner of a strip club or massage parlor to allow prostitution on the premises. Well, of course, they don't, as it is now, of course, but.
They don't.
The thing about.
Where
this,
do they not?
What I'm saying is it's illegal.
Oh.
Anyway, already.
Right.
But what they, the big deal on this has to do with the whistleblower status. Did you see that?
Yeah.
I mean, they said the bill would also give whistleblower status to employees who report their bosses for breaking the law, meaning they could not be retaliated against.
Yeah, and I think
yeah,
the
sure.
big deal is further down.
It says an employee who blows the whistle on a massage parlor or a strip club would be offered one-third the value
that's
of any seized assets if there's a conviction.
Well, that's a no-brainer.
And if a strip club or massage parlor is convicted of a third-degree felony, they could serve up to 5 years in prison. Now, I mean, on so many levels, this is unbelievable.
Stupid.
Well, here's the deal. Number one, the incentive, obviously, is to get a third of the assets. So
right.
Here's the employee who is going to report his boss. Now, unbeknownst to the boss, the employee has hired hookers
right.
to do the deal in the place. So the employee turns in the boss for this and then collects a third of the loot. This is...
Cha-ching!
Well, the thing is, this goes on more and more about ratting on people, spying on, you know, having the citizens spy on each other. And it creates this level of distrust that is mind-boggling, that is losing the cohesiveness of what it is to be in a society, in the American, whatever it is. If you're going to be, if you're always worried about your neighbor ratting on you for some real or imagined...
Or set up.
Well, I mean there's no disgruntled employees at a strip club, right?
Yeah, right.
And I mean, they're going to be overwhelmed with false calls on this one, I'm guessing. It depends on whether or not the spoils include just this one incident that's reported, or for example, if they bust the club and make a finding that it's been rampant and it's been happening a bunch of times and it's thousands of dollars.
Who's trying to pass this?
Well, no, but what if they do use the confiscation? They close it up because it's a,
right.
no, a threat to the community. What do they call it? A public nuisance.
And then they take over the property.
Listen.
Government property.
Let me read between the lines here. This is happening in Tampa, Florida. I can tell you that in Tampa, Florida, they have a vendetta against the strip clubs there.
They really do.
There's
well, what I'm curious to know is they have this
because
vendetta, but how come? How, well, they used
a,
to, I do know on Dale Mabry there used to be a whole bunch of them there, right?
Yeah,
Venus
we're,
Club and
well, the Mons Venus is still there.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and that's really the main catalyst, and they've always pushed the line and. I don't know exactly how that club and the other ones have survived.
Well, they obviously are. Okay, let me tell you. Are they paying people off? I don't know.
They must have somebody.
Well, the thing about it is though, this vendetta, you would think when the government gets a vendetta, I mean, they're going to win. They got the guns.
Well, that's why I can only imagine that it's some sort of...
Well, the only thing I can imagine is that the owners are already very scrupulous about staying on the right side of the line, quote, the right side of the
line. They're not. I mean, unless they have been recently... I heard from friends a long time ago.
Well, yeah, but a long time ago they used to sell alcohol there and stuff.
No alcohol.
No, there's no alcohol in Mons.
No alcohol.
Zero.
Yeah. I remember.
Is that $100 to get in or something?
No. It's a normal $10
card. It's a $10 Coca-Cola.
So you go in there and just to stare at the girls or what?
Yeah, but it used to
apparently
be that
what,
the girls got quite
than...
physical. They would really rub up against you and hug you.
Oh, yeah.
But now that's
a happy dance.
But isn't that illegal?
It is, yes.
Lap dancing is illegal
to some
now.
Extent. It depends. There's like a very fine line there.
It
like,
depends on what the definition of is.
It just depends on the
is.
Definition of pasty.
Yeah, exactly. It does.
What is rubbing?
They didn't used to have pasties.
No,
or, no, it used to be able to go in and get drunk and see a naked girl.
Yeah,
what you couldn't
You can't do that anymore.
Yeah,
but and
you can't do that anywhere. I mean, maybe in Miami. I mean, I don't think that there's.
Wait a second. So
I don't think there's anywhere in Florida. There was only three clubs, I think, in Florida where you could actually go see a full naked girl.
Well,
and
you could
have alcohol.
Right now here,
but there's none left. I don't think anymore.
And I mean, I just wonder. This is like almost like gun control. I mean, it's little by little. What are they accomplishing?
If you serve alcohol, they have to wear bottoms. And you have to have pasties.
Right.
Yeah.
So in order to get no nude.
So it's not.
Yeah, the bottom line is if you have alcohol,
it's
no
not
naked.
A naked club.
Right.
Look,
it's not, like Hooters, for God's sake.
So alcohol and nakedness does not go together.
No.
According to our government.
That's right.
Puritanical
groups have gotten in charge of our government and banned things like this and regular dancing and rock and roll and things like that.
It's I remember when I was growing up, the big hoorah that they had, especially here in the South, when Elvis started, they had a deal on the Ed Sullivan Show for his second appearance. They only showed him from the waist up. They were not allowed to show his hips on TV because it would offend the sensibilities of America.
Right.
Oh, my God.
The children.
Now they're getting us back.
Yeah, I guess. Well, that's
no titties and beer.
There's two sides pushing on this, and really our side has been winning this battle slowly. Although, in terms of the strip clubs, they've been losing over the last decade.
So... But the thing about it is they're interfering with the market. I mean, I guess what they're saying, of course, is for the welfare of the entire community.
Right.
Because if there's alcohol and naked women, then there's crime.
Gotta be.
No, they consider those things, I mean, they do try to bootstrap that on there. Exactly. They consider those things to be amoral. I mean, the groups that are against these types of things are usually religious organizations, big church organizations. Yeah,
couldn't imagine.
You know, you just
no, but look, they know best. But what here's what I'm
they're just looking out for us.
Here's what I'm confused about. Apparently, you can have naked bars all day long, no alcohol, right?
In some places.
Oh yeah, I see what you're saying.
And you can have alcohol bars all day long as long as there's no naked.
Right.
But for some reason, if you put them together, it's like gunpowder or something. Or what?
Right.
It's kaboom!
It's,
I mean, what?
Naked women is saltpeter, and then the charcoal is the
And you bring your own match.
Right.
Yeah, we'll edit a good joke in there.
It's a little tiny match, Mr. Luthor.
But it gets hot.
That's right. It gets hot. That's right.
We could talk for 10 hours.
You have to stand up for the rights of people in these kinds of situations.
It is astounding to me, though, how puritanical they are on this. I mean, and when you realize that there are so many people that consider this okay, say, I mean, the dancers, for one.
It's a legitimate business.
Well, I was trying to make money.
There's a market. The market has spoken.
Well, and they are trying desperately to distort the market. Let me tell you one of the things that I do find. I would guess this is the same thing with the bootleggers too. In the old alcohol days, they didn't want to legalize drinking again because it would take away their phenomenal profits. I mean, once they have the thing, I would guess that these girls that are making $1,000 a night or $1,000 a week or whatever they're making, if every place could be a strip club.
I think they'd rather have legitimacy. I don't think that there's a consortium of people that are keeping it legal. Not like I think there is in the drug law thing.
Well, because alcohol and prohibition and drugs are all consumables. Prostitution is, well, I guess it is sort of consumable.
The flavor of the week is this.
Ooh!
Yeah, it's okay.
Jimmy!
That's right.
At jimmydoan.com.
That's right.
Well, again, this incentive for the whistleblowers, that's, again, stupid.
Well, this reminds me a little bit, of course.
Tell us who thought it.
It's a Florida. It's somebody down in Tampa, like you say, some representative down there.
Yeah.
The question that I have reminds me a little bit of your DCF stuff.
What about the DCF?
Well, where they can report you anonymously, and I don't think there's any confiscation. You don't get there are no whistleblowers, but I mean, people can come and take away your kids
from a random phone call.
Right. And here. They're providing an incentive for somebody to make the direct on your boss.
A huge incentive at that.
Yeah. Well, and like we've said,
this is part of the deal. This is what the totalitarian governments do. When you think about, when you watch the old movies of what it was like in East Germany during the Cold War and before the wall fell down, I mean, what was it? It was that people were spying on their neighbors, turning them in, and in the middle of the night, the Gestapo would come through and cart them off and stuff like that.
The big one will be what we've already seen in the child abuse situation. That is that mandatory reporting, or it's a felony if you don't report.
Yeah, I mean, that's Right. It's a felony. I mean, and I think about this, they have, I guess, for how long have they had it where you had to do in the hospital bullets, for instance? You come in with a bullet wound.
Not very long.
It's really?
Been, oh, yeah.
Tell me, what's the bullet
10
thing?
Or 15 years about? Or something.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you talking about, the bullet?
If you walk into a hospital with a bullet wound, they have to report it to the police.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
But that's totally new. I mean, in Starsky and Hutch days, they shoot you all day long, no problem.
I did not know
Huggy
that.
Bear. Huggy Bear. Taking one.
Well, you can tell me about this. What about knife wounds?
Well, same kind of thing. I don't think they have much duty to report that at all, even these days.
Well, they have to report the bullet wounds.
Okay.
If you walk in with a bullet wound, the cops are going to show up.
I've never defended anybody for not reporting a bullet wound or anything like that. Lots of reports.
Yeah. Because they do report them.
I suppose.
Yeah.
I've seen lots of reports of child abuse when it could easily not have been.
Right. Well, that, of course, that's the other thing that I look at on this sort of thing is... I guess I won't say what constitutes prostitution, but as we all know, what constitutes sex, as you well know, if depending on how what happens in the act, so to speak, is it prostitution? Well, okay, the noose is tightening.
My thought is, who cares? You know,
yeah.
I mean,
well, obviously somebody cares. The point is,
you can
somebody
put a
cares
goat on some girl. I mean, what? How bad does it get?
A goat.
Yeah, I mean, and then after that, it. You know, I mean, what? So what happens? I mean, she's not going to have a goat kid.
those are called satyrs.
A little bow and arrow.
Yeah,
okay. What, we lose you there, Engineer Eric?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, I mean,
he's dozing off here. Just hang with us. You got it. You'll figure
I'm just
it out.
Saying, how bad is prostitution really when you look at it? I mean, I can't do it like that. Or I mean, what? I mean. You know, so you use objects. I mean, there's toys.
Right. I'm saying, in other words, how do they define prostitution? Do you actually have to have sex?
No, these days they just bust you for solicitation.
Right.
So
right.
They just come up.
So
and
you're just
asking.
Giving a girl some money.
Right.
And she could.
You're done.
You could talk. Yeah. She could just talk to you and you could be.
You could agree to it. It's a conspiracy.
But, right. but if you didn't even agree.
You're paying a girl to talk.
You have to agree.
In other words, if you drive up to some short skirted little high booted girl on the side and say, and you gave her 20 and say, I'm going to give you $40. Let's go to the movies.
Right.
You get arrested for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
That is.
But you were just taking her to the movies.
Well, prove
it.
You can argue that to the jury if you want.
Yeah, and to the judge, right.
Right.
Yeah, right, pal.
Right.
Look at her.
Hey, if you can prove that she's just a cute little girl and you were on your way to the movies anyway and you had two tickets and, you know, and this is a college town or something like that, then you'd still get guilty.
That's right. Let me tell you, of course, what's interesting, and I find this, the most popular shows on TV, because they're all over the place, are the SWAT cops, whatever it is, and they're always getting the Johns and the prostitutes. And boy, when they arrest those people, that gotta hurt. That has got to hurt. We're talking knees in the back, down on the face, you know, four guys on top of you.
Yeah, well, they don't arrest you.
May I suggest you use
nightstick?
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking of that. May I suggest you use your nightstick, officer?
Yeah.
Out of 48 hours.
Eddie Murphy. we'll have it on the website.
But because, you know, you get a lot gentler arresting for a DUI.
Right.
You know, turn around, we're going to put the cuffs on you. But boy, if you solicit some girl and, you know, they get out of the car, you know, they're surrounded. I mean,
it really
guns,
all depends
and
they, on
I
the
mean,
officer.
Can you, and they have guns pointed at you. One of the things that I have a basic philosophy is about guns, and that is I never bluff. I would never bluff. Never pull out a gun and never point a gun at anybody unless you're going
to
shoot.
Shoot his ass.
Well, you might not actually do it, but I mean, you would be willing to.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's not an empty threat.
I've defended many, many people who've been drawn on. And I mean, in kids and things.
Are the cops really going to shoot you?
No, they're just...
That's just their stance. That's standard operating procedure.
But I mean, it's mind-boggling. Here's somebody who is propositioned some girl or whatever it is, and he takes off.
Yeah, victimless crime, in my opinion.
Well, maybe, and he takes off, and of course, taking off is a felony, right? You sent me the thing, the unlawful flight to avoid arrest.
Right.
Is there such a thing as a lawful flight to avoid arrest?
Yeah. Well, and there is.
No, you're kidding.
Well, of course, yeah, there is. I emailed back. If you don't hear them yell, stop police.
Oh, okay.
Then you're in lawful flight.
Okay.
Thank you for that reminder.
Well, that's good to know. Didn't hear you.
Hey. You said you defended some guy and he got out because he was fast.
Yeah.
And the judge says, yep.
Yeah, the prosecutor was pissed. She said,
you mean he gets off because he could run fast?
Yep.
Well, Jimmy, I think what we need
to do, counselor.
Hey, you get him off. Put him out on the streets.
That's it.
Well, Jimmy, I think we all need to go down there and we need to find a place that's doing this illegal prostitution and we need to tell on their ass and take a third of their money. It's better than divorce.
I have a personal something against that. Jimmy's moving on. Farmers, this is an ethanol update. Farmers head to fields to plant corn and lots of it. And this is the government distorting the market. As you know, corn typically is for pigs and stuff to feed
cattle.
That's right. It's cattle feed. It makes up a big chunk of cattle and pig feed and
pigs
so forth.
Do.
And the corn, and of course we eat corn too, obviously.
Some call
what happens
maize.
Is now that the government is subsidizing ethanol, they have decided to plant as much corn as they did, I mean, you know, 50 years ago.
In Dust Bowl days?
I mean, yes, exactly. Right. Well, before that. So the deal is, obviously, this is like that Sim City thing. You know, how much do you plant?
How much corn do you plant?
And in order not to affect the price. And this is one of the things that always happened in the old days. It was really funny. When the price of something would go up, since crops take, you know, a year, it takes us 6 months or whatever for it to come to market. As the price would go up, there was always a boom and bust cycle because the price would go up and everybody would go out and plant. And then the price would plummet and these people would go out of business and so forth. The market actually would have figured it out. But they had to start up the agriculture department. And that's why today, instead of disbanding the agriculture department, which they threatened to do, which they should have done, in 1996, they passed the Freedom to Farm Act, which was going to eliminate for all time subsidies to farmers. And today the subsidies are bigger than they've ever been. And this is
what happened to the act.
They dissed it. They basically,
they are
ignoring it. They just are plain ignoring it.
They didn't hear it.
Yeah. It's on the books. It's on the books.
We didn't get that memo.
We didn't get that memo. Right. And they said, but what they're doing is they're claiming that everything that they're doing now is an emergency and it's terrorists.
Oh, it's terrorists.
It's because the
buzzword.
It's a terrorist thing. We gotta have independence from oil. So we're gonna grow enough corn so that everybody's gonna be running around huffing alcohol or ethanol or whatever.
By the way, if we say terrorism a few more times, we'll get more hits on our website.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, maybe some from people we don't want to be calling us.
Yeah. But the deal is, of course, as always, they're worried about the weather because that could change things. But the point is that more corn than ever is being planted, and they don't know the corn futures. Interestingly enough, you can hedge your bets. Farmers can hedge their bets. They can sell their crop ahead of time if they want to. And that's one of the things that helps even out things. But the deal is that the additional corn, it says it might reduce feed costs because there'll be more corn. And so the cost will be cheaper, except the ethanol people are sucking it all up.
For the evil gasoline?
Yeah. But I love this thing. This guy was talking about it. David Driscoll, an analyst with Citigroup, said that while the corn crop was still dependent on the weather, the report was a positive sign that there would be enough corn to meet both the fuel and food needs and to replenish depleted corn inventories. The moral of the story is if you dangle money in front of farmers, they'll take it. You think? How about anybody else? But the National Chicken Council said its optimism about
the corn. They're pissed?
No, but they're a little pissed because it turns out the chickens like to eat soybeans. And of course, if you plant corn, you're not planting soybeans. I mean, the farmers have to make, when they got their 1,000 acres out there, they divide it up into what they plant, corn, soybeans, wheat, whatever it is. And since the corn price is up, they're going to plant more corn and fewer soybeans.
Poor chickens.
Yeah, so they
have the
National Chicken Council is a little upset about that.
the NCC.
But I love this. Ken McCauley, president of the National Corn Growers Association, said the planning report showed that farmers responded to demands from the ethanol and livestock industry to grow more corn. Well, duh. But the news of the record planting did not please everyone.
We responded to payment.
Because there's going to be more increased water pollution from fertilizer, more runoff, and so forth. But I love this. Up until now, ethanol policy has been little more than a political bidding war. Duh. I mean, the farmers, of course, this is what people don't realize about the market. Farmers don't care a shit about whether it's ethanol, cows, whatever it is. They look and they say, here's what it's going to cost me. Here's how much I can get. That's all you need to know. And that's the beauty of the market system. You don't have to know how your box of Wheaties is made, where the wheat comes from, who made the box, who designed it, Kellogg's or Post Toast. You don't care. All you look at it is you see, this box of Wheaties is $3.84, and this box of Publix Wheaties, generic brand, is $2.19. And you make a decision as to which one you want. That's all you need to know. And it goes all the way down the line. So what they're saying here is that whether or not there's gas guzzlers, whether or not there's cafe new, what they call the cafe, which are the mileage standards get changed and so forth, the farmer doesn't give a shit about that. I mean, of course, you got to understand that his vehicles get about 1 mile to the gallon.
Right.
I mean, you know, when you're out there in the fields with this humongous tractor that does 12 lanes at a 12 furrows at a thing, you know, that they're pumping the shit into the atmosphere. You can bet on that. So
lemon fresh exhaust scent?
I don't think so. But I thought that this was on so many levels, of course, this was an interesting article because it shows the distortions in the market. The ethanol, the jury is so out on whether ethanol is even any good because of how much it costs to
it's chumpy.
Energy wise,
mix it with gas anyway, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and you know, there's the pollution. There's the pollution that you use to make it.
And like we talked about, it takes a long time for corn to grow. So we're doing all of that.
Well, it doesn't take as long as it does for a dinosaur to turn to oil. So
if it's even
a
dinosaur.
You said
we plant some dinosaurs, Mr. Luthor. I know. What we do is...
Jimmy told Mrs. Jimmy that he burned up one raptor on his way over.
Yeah, fill her up with a raptor and a half, please. That'd be $50. The tour bus takes Tyrannosauri. And the airplane takes a brontosaur. So that's it. And one down and a couple of million to go. Okay, yeah, that's what we
do. Not to mention all this fancy ethanol, gasoline is more expensive at this point, isn't it?
Well, it's subsidized. This is the whole thing. That's what distorts the market. Look, they could subsidize ethanol for $5 a gallon and sell gasoline to us for a penny. And, you know, but except for the general taxpayer would be picking up the money. It's like so many things when they talk about, for instance, here locally, affordable housing. Affordable housing costs the same as any other house. It's just who's paying for it. I mean, the person sitting in there is paying $300 a month. I'm picking up the other $200.
It's affordable because I'm paying for
exactly.
It.
Right. Yeah,
exactly.
No, nothing has changed.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk
by the
about
way, $2.75 a gallon here in Florida this week. So
yeah, it was
unfreaking believable.
For the first time ever, because my car happens to use premium. For the first time ever.
Your car doesn't run on ethanol, you mean?
No. No, it uses... I fill it up a lot of times with regular, but
juice.
I ran down to pick up my eBay winnings in Tampa.
Right, right.
And...
which happened to be right next to that strip club we were talking about.
And, not too far away. And I went down in the and I
blew them
for the first time. I closed in on $50 to fill up. That is, I mean, when I was growing up, you went on a date, you put 50 cents in the car. 50 cents in the car. Hey, honey, we're going on a date. I mean, seriously. And now $50 to go to Tampa. Oh my God!
And you got
to
put $50 of liquor in the girl too. So
I can't wait to see one of those hydrogen cars explode at the intersection. You know?
Well, this is the other thing. This is the other thing.
That's right. There's a crater at the corner of 34th and 12th.
We're not worried about potholes anymore. It's craters.
That's right.
That's it.
Oh, there goes another one.
You know, you sit there and you're sitting there down at your place at the Siegel Building, for instance, and you're watching these flames shoot up in the air like there'd been an earthquake or something. The gas main had busted. Kafoom. Well, that's
All right.
I'm moving on. Another government fiasco.
I was going to say, the USDA?
Yeah, the USDA. Right. Turns out that for 30 years, they have been not inspecting some of their...
The United States dumbasses.
Yeah, they go in there like occasionally.
Well, their job is to inspect the meat.
Right. Package, let me tell you, you talk about feathers on a fish, tits on a bull, whatever the USDA inspection is that. I don't care what you say. The fact is that you look at the big plants and they're moving 1,000 hogs a minute through there. Nobody's going to... Jose.
Well, they just admitted they weren't even inspecting.
Well, here, that's...
Right.
And it turns out these were fairly small plants. What I thought was funny about this was these plants were like out in the boons.
Right.
And so the inspector, his territory covered it, but he says, shit, I'm not driving out there. Fuck him, you know. You know, I'm not driving out there.
Jimmy's in rare form.
And so they would go by every couple of 3-4 weeks, I guess. And when they're supposed to be like, they're daily.
By. Hey, it looks good.
Yeah, exactly. Drive by. And you know, in spite of that, what's interesting, people don't realize it is incumbent on the meat people, in spite of the great muckraking book that started all the USDA, the
Jungle Book you're talking about? Jungle Book.
But not the Jungle Book. It's called something Jungle. Not Blackboard Jungle.
It was the Jungle Book.
No, it's called the Jungle.
The Jungle.
No, Upton Sinclair wrote something Jungle, and something. We'll get email on that. Okay. But anyway, that was the one that started. That was about the meatpacking industry because there were rats and fingers and shit like that in the meat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, but how many people were dying? I don't know. Nowadays, one of the things you don't want to do is to kill your customers.
Right.
It is not good for business.
Right.
And you notice that when a couple of years ago they had the Jack in the Box thing where a couple of people got sick, they recalled like 50 million before the USDA, whatever it is, got involved in it. They recalled 50 million pounds of this stuff.
Right.
They do that these days. I'm sorry. They do that.
Right.
They don't need the inspector. So it turns out that they haven't been inspecting these places, 250 plants out of the 6,000 or whatever. It's a small number. Don't get me wrong. It's not that much. But nobody's dying.
Right.
So it reminds me of, as I said before, when they close down the government, they say we're only going to close. We're not going to have the essential. We're only unessential workers. We're going to fire. Not fire. Unessential personnel need not come in. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying
non-essential.
And of course, if they're non-essential, then what are they doing there in the first place?
Right.
And this to me is the same thing. Look,
this is absolute proof that what the government is telling you that possibly can't happen, which is the market is taking care of itself, is happening.
Exactly right. They have, and the federal law requires continuous inspection of packing plants and daily inspection of processing plants. So,
and obviously, they don't need it.
And they don't do it, and like, who cares?
It's just called The Jungle, by the way, I believe.
No, that's a different book.
No, it's called, and I'll think of it here, but I'm thinking about something else. Okay, I'm going to move on now to the gambling.
Gambling?
Do you see that? Well, this was the guy, I don't know if you know this, but about 6 months ago, there was a guy.
Big wheel spin.
Okay.
34 black.
Okay. You're a winner, Jack. Yay!
Gambling, of course, what's funny in the United States, this is more of the Puritan stuff. You're fine to gamble all day long if you want. Of course, the Indians get away with it, but you're fine. Here in Florida, you can gamble all you want as long as the Florida take is about 2/3. You're allowed to keep 1/3 of the money, maybe, if you win. But the deal is, so for every dollar you bet,
that's
you get
the lottery.
That's the lottery, right. And the only way they can make the lottery pay is to outlaw all other gambling. You want to play poker for money in your house? Sorry, you get arrested, go to jail, don't pass go, and certainly don't collect $200. That is the only way they can make the lottery pay a dime. Now, they've done this across the United States, and internet gambling is, it's illegal to gamble across state lines here in Florida, with one or two minor exceptions that the horse racing or the Las Vegas people got there's one little exception here or there. I forget what it is. I think if you're allowed to gamble in your home state, then somebody can call up and place a bet, even though it's across the state line. I think that's the way it works. But whatever it is. Anyway, the point of mine is a lot of the people that here don't want to gamble through Las Vegas. They want to play blackjack or spin the wheel or whatever it is in Aruba or Antigua or someplace down there in one of the islands where gambling is legal.
Right.
But they outlawed here in the United States. They said, no, can't do that on the internet. Can't do that. You get arrested. Well, the thing is, obviously, how do you track them down? No way, Jose. And they've tried a bunch of different things. They make it so that you can't use your credit card.
Can't use PayPal.
PayPal, you know, credit card, stuff like that. Basically, you have to put a whole bunch of money in an envelope and, you know, mail it down there or something.
Yeah, and set up your account there.
Set up your account there and then message
in a bottle or something.
Something, exactly. So anyway, it turns out these guys, there's a couple of guys from the Brits, especially, and there's a guy, another Canadian, they arrested him, making a ton of money because they've got their gambling emporium, their internet gambling only. They don't even have to have the girls or the drinks or anything.
Right.
They've got a bunch of servers down there in Antigua that do all this gambling, and people are calling up the United States, making bets and so forth. Well, so they want to arrest these guys. And one of the guys they arrested, he was on his way to wherever he was going, and it turned out that he was, unfortunately, it was not a nonstop flight. He happened to have a layover, I think, in Houston or Austin or someplace like Houston, I guess it
was.
He got off the plane to get on the next plane, and whoop, bang, they got him, and he's in jail. This guy is, now, this is the number two guy. He happened to be in a hotel in the Dominican Republic, which I guess we have an extradition treaty or Interpol or something.
Yeah,
like
I'm
that.
Sure they're a part
so
of
So anyway, they found out he was there on his way to Aruba or wherever he was going to his for his thing, and they hauled him back here. Now he's in St. Louis, and they're going to put him on trial. And they want to put him up for, like, I mean, let me put it this way. Noriega, who was a coke dealer, is not going to, his sentence is shorter than this guy's going to get.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is...
You're making an example of him.
Oh, no, no question.
Well,
no question.
The interesting part about the story, they said, you know, it says internet gambling head arrested. And what's interesting is they only arrested his head. Because they don't need the rest of him.
No, that's right.
And he's not going to either.
A little English lesson there.
Thank you so much. Right. But what's interesting about this is the complaints to this are coming from an unexpected source. It's the WTO. It is the World Trade Organization. I don't know if anybody knows this, but the WTO, which is almost toothless. I think they have like one tooth.
it's a baby
tooth. That's right. They have like one tooth, but it's a baby tooth. But they apparently, if you complain to the WTO, they can nudge, nudge, wink, wink, or get you to change your thing. And it turns out that this kind of thing, this internet gambling, because the United States, let's see, how does it work? Since we do allow some wire-type gambling in the United States, you can't discriminate. The WTO says you can't discriminate. And here we are, you're allowed to bet on the ponies, for instance, in Las Vegas, from Florida, over the telephone. Well, wait a minute. The WTO says, wait a minute. If you're going to allow that, then you have to. Then the telephone's the telephone. You know, what does it matter? Well, who cares if it's to Aruba or Antigua or wherever, Costa Rica or whatever the hell it is? That's the way the rules are, and the United States is part and parcel to that treaty. So the people are coming along saying either you have to stop, since there's no discrimination allowed, you either have to stop your horse racing betting over your telephone wires inside your own country, or you have to allow it. You know, either way, it has to be consistent. We'll see how that comes out. My guess is the United States is going to tell them to go jump on their own.
Well, did you see what statute the United States is trying to prosecute the guy for?
No.
You didn't?
No.
For 500, Jimmy, can you name the statute that they would prosecute?
Wickert?
No, the statute, that's the case. That's the case.
Always a good guess, though. In the
Always
Jimmy
a good
show.
Guess, yeah.
Okay, it's some kind of interstate commerce thing, right? The statute. Okay, yes. They're going to prosecute him. Conspiracy to, conspiracy to corrupt the morals of minors.
Oh, close, but no. One more guess.
Al Capone.
Conspiracy to evade taxes.
That's it.
Okay, yes. Jimmy wins the third guess.
RICO.
RICO, okay, yes. Ah, the RICO, of course.
Yeah.
That's it. It's a mob thing.
Exactly.
It's a mob thing. I tell you, this brings up the same point as always. If you give them a tool, they're going to find a way to use it. You know, like our here locally, you know, we got our, I think I mentioned this last time, we have our little SWAT truck here now.
Right.
In Gainesville, like the one in Die Hard?
Right.
We have one. I wonder how long it's going to be before they're going to use it. I mean, you can't have a toy like that.
Welcome.
And not just go and run out there and beat somebody's door down.
Oops.
Jimmy at JimmyDone.com.
Wait a minute.
Wrong button.
What is he doing?
No, I'm just sorry. I was, you guys said something and I was like going, you know what? I had something in here that I really wanted to play.
Yeah.
That I'm sure that you guys are going to touch on, so don't say anything, but I'm going to have to download it real quick.
All right, no problem.
Okay, good. Oh, I see this. I thought I actually had some mail.
I thought I actually had mail.
Yeah, I'll send you an email, Jimmy.
Yeah, thanks, bro. I appreciate it. It's funny because everything is illegal, and even you're not safe anyplace. I mean, you think about it. If you stop over just anywhere...
Your file's done. That's what it was saying.
Goodbye.
I'm done now. It's okay. I mean, you can go back to talking what you're talking about.
Still talking about the internet gambler?
Yeah, so counselor, is he going to jail?
Unfortunately, unless they change the statute, which there's no hope in sight in that. Really.
He's going to jail.
I mean, he's going to obviously hire some big old fancy attorney. What would his defense be?
You got nothing at that point.
You got nothing!
Yeah, I mean, you got nothing. For some sort of jurisdictional
okay,
claim.
Let's run with that one.
Yeah.
Let's run. I got nothing.
Let's take nothing.
Yeah, I got
I didn't hear them say stop. Just do a little dance in front of the... I got nothing and nothing from nothing. It's a...
That's good. No, it's good. It's good. So gambling is fine as long as you pay. It's like protection money here, of course. And, of course, the signs, what's so funny is you drive up and down I-75, and what do the signs say about the lottery? It says $13 billion given to education. You know, I mean, never mind this.
$100 trillion given to our corrupt government.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's right.
Unbelievable. Okay, moving on.
Yeah, we got lots of stuff here. What are we going to go here? Jimmy's going down. All right. He's back.
Ordinary customers flagged as terrorists.
Ordinary customers?
Yeah, I'm going to read it.
Have that one.
Well, this is from the Washington Post. Private businesses such as rental and mortgage companies and car dealers are checking the names of customers against a list of suspected terrorists and drug traffickers made publicly available by the Treasury Department. Sometimes,
Mr. Ahmadinejad?
Sometimes denying services to ordinary people whose names are similar to those on the list. They have
similar.
Yeah, exactly. No, seriously, they've expanded the list, and obviously we have the unforeseen consequences. They have used it to screen applicants for home and car loans, apartments, and even exercise equipment. The list is being used far beyond context for which it has links to national security. In other words, this is a national security list. But if you want to have a mortgage or you want to buy something, they'll check your name against the list.
I'm sorry, Mr. Capone, we can't sell you the ab lounger.
The government is effectively conscripting private businesses into the war on terrorism, but doing so without making sure that the businesses don't trample on individual rights. Now,
these treadmills could be used to train a terrorist army.
I guess there's only been about a dozen cases, okay? But yet anyone who does business with a person or a group on the list risks penalties of up to $10 million and 10 to 30 years in prison. The law scope is so broad, the guidance is limited to some businesses that would rather deny the transaction than risk criminal penalties.
Is Mohammed on the list?
But the point is, it prohibits you from doing business with the terrorists, but it doesn't have a minimum dollar amount. If the terrorist comes in and buys a stick of gum in your 7-Eleven, and you don't check,
$10 million.
$10 million, right. The Treasury Department acknowledged that there are, quote, challenges in complying with the rules, but the department has extensive guidance on compliance.
What?
But the point is that what's happened is there have been a bunch, surprise, surprise, even Obama has, his middle name is Hussein. And they have.
His last name is Obama.
My point is that they have denied mortgage loans and stuff to people because they looked on the list and the name was close enough and they said, nah, we're not even going to take the chance. I mean, the net is so broad. You talk about catching the dolphins with the tuna. This is the other way around. I mean, they're looking for one thing and they're catching everything. And every little guy in the world.
You catch everything in the sea and then you take out what you want.
The rest dies
on the boat deck.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, they.
But then you kick them overboard. Maybe they'll live.
It is.
After you fin them.
Yeah, after you fin them. That's right.
Tasty soup.
That's right. It's just amazing that the title of this is Ordinary Customers. And it's going to get worse. And everything is in the name of terrorism now. Everything. I'm sorry, you want a mortgage on your... Oh, terrorists can't do that.
Yeah, let's say terrorism.
Well, you know, this, and we're going to... I don't know if I have more of this, but the Real ID Act, of course, you know, is, we talked a little bit about that.
And the other terrorist act was the flag burning thing.
So talk about that.
We'll dovetail into
this. We're moving on.
We're going.
Two kids.
High school students, right? College,
I think.
Yeah, I think they're college.
Teenagers.
They burned a couple of flags.
What were their names?
Oh, their names were like Ahmadinejad.
Ahmadinejad and Muhammad Atta.
Muhammad Ali.
That's right.
and so they were charged with a whole bunch of stuff like arson and criminal mischief.
Criminal mischief.
And... a disruption.
Terrorism.
There were like five things they were charged with. Five, you know, they read the book, threw the book at them.
All right, so wait, give us a little more background, counsel.
So what happened?
Are they on a college campus, or what's the deal?
Yeah, I believe they were, or just...
Near it.
They were just off of it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Technically off cam. And what were they? They were just running the flag for fun? Or
yeah,
it was just a prank.
Yeah, it was just a prank, I think. I don't even think it was a protest. I don't know. All I do know is that flag burning is legal. And
so they didn't charge him with that.
Right. And so they charge him with everything else.
Right.
And the guy whose
flag they burned said, this is terrible. I'm a patriotic American. They shouldn't do that.
Right.
And they're going to be. They're going to get the criminal. But, I mean, they could go to, like, jail. I mean, serious
right.
jail time.
Hopefully, they'll treat this as what it is, which is just some kids pulling a prank.
Mischief.
And they won't charge him with terrorist acts or anything like that.
But, I mean... But
they're going to go for it. They're going to try.
But, I mean, as you say, the prosecutors always throw everything that they can in there. And then in their lenience, it's like the release of the Brits. They threw everything from Iran, right? They now everybody's saying what a nice guy he is, you know, for releasing him. They shouldn't have fucking taken him in the first place. I mean, you know, what are you talking about? I mean,
he's certainly saying what a nice guy he is.
Right. Well, let me tell you, some of the other people, actually one or two of the hostages happened to say that.
That was very nice of him to let him go.
Yeah, very nice of him to
after
let me go.
After he captured them and paraded them around.
And had him apologize for what? I mean, that's what's amazing to me is
they were in their water.
Yeah, they were in their water. You're in my water. You peed in my water. We don't know
Brit.
We don't want no Brit pee in our water. Oh my God!
Unbelievable.
Thank you for listening to part two of the April 5th, 2007 Jimmy Doan podcast. Support the Jimmy Doan Show by making a donation.
The folks in Portland don't want to let go of Andy Narell and Calypso Sesión from Paris at the Crystal Ballroom this fine February afternoon. And I've loved every minute.